Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony. The real Don Tony. Hey, Gifa, what's going on, everybody? Happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone who celebrates it. It is Thursday night, 5/5/2022. Q&A with yours truly is back once again. Big shout out to everyone who is joining me live, everybody who's joining on the archive, audio only, video only. I appreciate each and every one of you, and we are going to have a fun show tonight. Little bit of news and discussion to open up the show, and then we will do a whole bunch of Q&A. As I remind everyone with tonight's show, and especially Sunday with the sit-down, super chats are not required. They are appreciated, but they're not required. So, and for our channel members, they obviously get VIP status. They're let into the club tonight before everyone else, but we have a lot of stuff to get into. And, you know, I tell you, I don't like holding topics off for later dates. But I got to be honest with you. You know, I started to do a little bit of research the last couple of days, and something that Brandon Thurston, who does all the analysis in the grids, he does a spectacular job. But this is something that he has not done, and I don't think he would want to get into this territory. But it's something that I have felt for a very long time. And trust me, I wish that I didn't have to talk about this. But I'm going to address it, and I'm going to back it up with some statistics. Here is a early thumbnail teasing Saturday night show. Now, Saturday we'll do WrestleMania Backlash predictions right at the beginning of the show. I'm only going to spend 5 minutes doing predictions because the majority of you out there will probably watch the show after Backlash is over. But we have a lot of topics to get into this weekend, but this is the theme for this weekend's Don Tony Show episode. Force-feeding honor. And I think you saw the quintessential example of it last night to close out AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan, beloved fan of Ring of Honor from back in the day, purchased Ring of Honor. The sale was finalized yesterday. But is he force-feeding honor on his main product, and are the ratings being affected as a result? And honestly, the answer is yes. You know, right now, Ring of Honor is a name only. Let's just face the facts. Ring of Honor is a name only. Now, we're going to talk about it in detail on Saturday. But, you know, you talk about addressing, you know, the lack of women's wrestling that doesn't air on their network shows. And I stress network shows. And look, you know, this is what I think a lot of people need to understand. Last night, we had Deonna Purrazzo take on Mercedes Martinez to unify the Ring of Honor Women's Championships. Because remember, we had an interim champion and we had the Ring of Honor champion. Now, let's go back a little bit. Do you remember when WWE first announced Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns unification match, winner take all? It was a big story when that first happened. Do you remember what transpired right after that? Cody Rhodes became, Sammy Guevara became interim TNT champion because Cody had a COVID issue and could not defend the championship at Battle of the Belts. So you remember our analysis? They put Dustin Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara instead. And it's like, okay, why doesn't Dustin just defend the TNT title in his brother's behalf? Well, Dustin's not the champion. That makes no sense. I agree with you. All right, then why do you even have to have the TNT? Because remember, it was supposed to be Sammy versus Cody, a battle of the belts. Couldn't happen. Cody was out with the COVID issue. So they come up with this zany idea. Let's do an interim champion. And Cody was returning in 1 week. Even before the match went down, we said, why are they doing an interim champion for 1 week? They did not want Sammy to lose to Dustin. Because at the end of the day, it was about the intentions were Cody to retain. So they do this interim championship thing to piggyback off of the announcement title unification match. Now we just had WrestleMania go down, and title unification is still a big topic of conversation. The Usos and RK-Bro were supposed to unify the tag titles. You know, we will find out tomorrow if it is officially squashed, delayed, postponed. We don't know. You know, as quickly as they change it is, you know, I'm holding out. Maybe they change it back tomorrow. I doubt it, but hey, that's why we're not doing predictions before SmackDown airs tomorrow. So now you do, again, title unification, Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez. Now, look, I can't obviously show you the footage. I don't want any copyright strikes. I'm not saying this to be nasty, but I don't trust AEW when it comes to video clips. I have asked WWE in the past, is it all right if I post a little bit here, a little bit there? And they said, look, do it like GIF files. Do 3 seconds, 4 seconds, you'll be okay. In fact, I got a little clip I'm going to share with you later. You know, you ask in advance. Don't be shy. You ask a company in advance, is it right if I play 5 seconds of this or 3 seconds of this? And most of the times, if you give them enough time to answer, they will respond. And even if it's a no, because I've been told no in the past, they're very respectable about it. So yesterday you have Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez. And again, I can't show the video, but if you go on Twitter, I mean, it's obviously everywhere. Somebody made a video montage of the match yesterday focusing on the crowd. And honestly, guys, gals, last night's main event of Dynamite was the deadest AEW crowd I have ever seen for a main event on Dynamite. Dead as a doornail. It was embarrassing, horrendous. And here's the thing. I know AEW is not portrayed women's wrestling, especially on Dynamite, as much as they should. But just because two women have breasts and a vagina, you don't just throw them out there, let them stay out there for 20 minutes, and then you checked it off the box. See, we have women's wrestling. No, it's putting thought, it's putting effort. Know your fucking audience. Tony Khan beloves Ring of Honor. It's no secret. He beloves it. So now he is the owner. He gets to live out his fantasy of what he would have done back in the day. We'll talk about that aspect on Saturday, because we need to remind everyone the tweets. This has been a fantasy match of mine. Trent versus Samoa Joe. This has been a fantasy of mine. This has been a dream match of mine. You know, Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki versus Samoa Joe. Another dream match of his. But last night you put on that match, and I am not disrespecting Deonna Purrazzo or Mercedes Martinez. But let me just educate some of you out there. And then we'll have some fun with W. Morrissey. All right. For everybody that's on video, if you look at your screen, that is a screenshot from Impact Wrestling from January of this year. Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez. I did not take the time to pull other banners, but Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Martinez also wrestled here in the Northeast not too long ago. They have had multiple matches against each other. That night, Impact Wrestling did 100,000 viewers. 100,000. You look at the match they did in Jersey, you look at Impact, you look at another one, I believe, that's out there, and you would have had a good idea of what you were going to see last night. You know, they weren't going to suddenly pull out the, you know, these unbelievable moves that they haven't done in a decade. You knew. So to Tony Khan, unifying the Ring of Honor Women's Championship is huge. Women's wrestling, you know, Ring of Honor, Dynamite, Forbidden Door, blah, 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 this and that. So he puts it on last. And I can't tell you how many people that I was talking to online yesterday, and they were like, man, I have to turn it off. Or, man, this is boring as hell. You have set up your audience. We've talked about it many times before. A lot of these women, if you look at a lot of their shirts and some who have actually turned the corner, even if you look at Yuta and others, you have to have blood, you have to have hardcore, you have to have this, you have to have that. So know your goddamn audience, Mr. Khan. Stop taking your mindgasms. See, I understand why he does what he does. And for all of you out there, Chaos, Wolfie, Mike, Ramfam, Vijay, everybody who's tuning in, even if you're tuning in after this show, this live show is over, I want you to think about your favorite wrestling promotion of all time. That is not WWE. Your favorite, it could be an indie fed that none of us are even familiar of. Take a promotion that you have had a bond with locally, not just TV, but locally. Now, imagine 10 years later, you have the opportunity to buy that promotion. And some of the wrestlers that you idolized and absolutely were infatuated with as a wrestling fan, and there's nothing wrong with that, you now could get them under contract and work for you. So sure, look, I have always said my favorite promotion of all time was ECW. ECW, the original ECW. Loved it. And, you know, for anybody that follows me for two decades, know that in the mid-2000s, when I was doing a couple of shows financially with the Mass Maniac, with his USA Pro, I mean, if you ever look up USA Pro Wrestling, End of an Era, look at that event. I played earlier this year the match of Low-Ki versus Sunjay Dutt. That was the night the Triple Threat reformed. Bam Bam mooned the crowd twice. You know, some of what you saw was actually my idea. And I financially invested in that show and made money. I was this close of starting my own wrestling fed, indie fed locally. Not that easy, believe me. When you figure out everything that's involved behind the scenes, it's not that easy. But I thought about doing a small indie fed. There used to be a wrestler by the name of Jimmy Hustler. God rest his soul. Anybody that's into Northeast indie wrestling or some of my friends that are in indie wrestling, actual wrestle, will remember that man, Jimmy Hustler. Jimmy Hustler started his own wrestling promotion, ABC Pro Wrestling, and he took a bath. He lost his shirt. But we used to, and in fact, the first show that he ever did, Mercedes Martinez, wrestled on that show. We've talked about that before. This is what, 2005? Around that time, he unfortunately passed away in his 30s. And I still remember that funeral. We all went to the funeral, and it was, the turnout was amazing. And it felt good to see that many people that actually cared about the guy. But, you know, he was helping me a little bit. He used to work in a photographer's studio right down the block from me, 5 minutes away on Rockaway Boulevard. He was going to help me get through this. And I decided not to because I saw how much money he was losing. And although I had people locally that, you know, I would have been able to book for, you know, not too much money, I was afraid of losing everything too. So I never did it. But believe me, if I had the opportunity in 2005 to start my own indie wrestling company, you best damn believe that if I was able to buy ECW, even if it was a name only. And look, I ended up buying the trademark, if you remember. You know, of course, if some of my favorites were still able to wrestle, you best damn believe I would have Shane Douglas on the card. I would have Chris Candido on the card, God rest his soul. Would have Bam Bam before he passed away. Would have had other wrestlers. Mikey Whipwreck was a pisser. Jerry Lynn was freaking awesome. You know, I'm talking about wrestlers that could have afforded. RVD and others were in WWE, so forget about that. So, look, if I had the opportunity, of course I would love to be able to fulfill some of my fantasies. And you see it happening before your eyes. Tony Khan doesn't make it a secret. This has been a dream match of mine for years. This has been a dream match, a fantasy match for me. The problem is he's taken all his Ring of Honor stuff and he's putting it on the network television. He's putting it as main events. And it is hurting the numbers tremendously. That match yesterday for AEW Dynamite standards, it sucked. It sucked because he doesn't think about his audience before himself. He thinks because he's got his finger on the pulse about wrestling and what it should be today, and he feels that because he is anti-WWE with his mindset with entertainment, he thinks because it is an awesome match and he loves it, he expects everybody else to as well. And you had that match yesterday. If you watch that match in Impact, it's not much different. If you watch the Jersey match that's online, it's not much different. You put that as a main event yesterday? Oh, but it's the women's championship being unified. I don't give a fuck. That was awful. And if he would have hyped that up a week in advance, do a video package a week ago, do it halfway into the show, open up Dynamite with it. You got the Blackpool, you know, club. You know, you got them. You have Jeff Hardy and Bobby Fish. The show is only 2 hours. It's not three. Why is this infatuation of, it's almost like personal, you know, like, this is what it feels like to me. All right, Mercedes Martinez, you've been done wrong, especially lately with NXT. You're going to be in the main event tonight. John Silver, you know, you're an underground favorite with AEW. You're going to main event tonight. Stu Grayson, which suddenly everybody's infatuated with, you know the other white meat in the Dark Order. His contracts, oh, suddenly everybody gives a shit. Oh, Stu Grayson, you're going to be in the main event. This part, you're going to be in the main event. He feels like by putting them in the main event, it's extra special. See, he cares about me. You think some of the names that I just mentioned, if it was even NXT, you think they would have been in the main event? There's this aura of feel good, you know, satisfying, you know, this certain group of people online. You know, it's all this epic, amazing, oh, you know, hug and this and that. And believe me, you know, it's hurting their network TV. We brought up Ruby Soho last week. I don't have the numbers. I tweeted it. I deleted it. Because, again, when you have something truth in front of you and it takes criticism to Tony Khan, understand, everyone, on social media right now, oh, I can't wait till 2024. Oh, my God. You know who Tony Khan's biggest rival going to be? Freddie Prince Jr. Right now, online, you look at podcasters, you look at journalists, you look at indie wrestlers, you look at columnists, you look at, you know, anybody that wants to be in the wrestling business so bad, wants to be acknowledged so bad. Respect is earned. You don't get respect because you could give a good verbal hand job to someone. Just because you could gush and everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. Tony Khan is boss. Tony Khan is God. Tony Khan is the father I always wanted. Tony Khan is amazing. He's Booker of the Year, putting the graphics like he's Jesus Christ. You think Tony Khan truly looks at that and he's like, I love that person. That's somebody I want. That person, like, no. Take notice of the people that are over the top crazy with that stuff. They rarely get acknowledged because they think Tony Khan even looks at it and it's like, whoa, That's a little weirdness. That's a little too much on my part. Right now, a lot of that you see online, they want that acknowledgement so bad that even if you bring out a valid, strong point, if it's too strong, where it really addresses a major issue, they will be absent. They will not comment about it. If you remember, you know, his tweets towards Big Swall, do you remember how many people claimed, oh, it was New Year's, I wasn't around? Yet they never covered it. They covered it in a side article maybe 2 weeks later when it died down and there was additional things added to it. But we brought up Ruby Soho last week. Ruby Soho, in 2022, if I remember the stat correctly, she has had a total of one win in 2022. We're 5 months in. One win in 2022 on network television. That's Dynamite and Rampage. One win. It's interesting when we brought up Jay Lethal a while back, suddenly Jay Lethal was featured on TV. I think they have this plan like, okay, once the net picks up on someone, now with Tony Storm. Do you remember my tweet the night Tony Storm debuted? And I said, you wait till May 13th and let's see how many wins that she has on network television. Up until tomorrow, she has one. She has one. But Ruby, you know how many wins she has on YouTube in 2022? See, I call it AEW Network TV and AEW YouTube. Ruby Soho in 2022 has one win on AEW Network TV. On AEW YouTube for 2022, she has 15. She is 15-0 on AEW YouTube. So you start looking and you're like, wait a minute. You know, throw all this shit on YouTube, but is she's good enough for network TV? She's wrestling tomorrow on Rampage. She's teaming up with Tony Storm. Oh, what a coincidence. And they're taking on Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Still, a show that's not even getting 500,000 viewers on average right now. So you don't just put women on TV and let them stay out there for 20 minutes and say, aha, see, we put women's wrestling on TV. It's how it's portrayed. Deonna Purrazzo, Mercedes Martinez, wrestled on Impact back in January and got, for their quarter hour, less than 100,000 viewers. Just because it's now played on TNT television and it's Tony Khan that they're wrestling for, suddenly you expect a million people to say, hey, you know what? I didn't give a shit about it in January, but since Tony Khan is putting it on for me, now I got to watch it. If I'm not interested in seeing two people wrestle, I don't give a fuck if my mother puts it on. I don't care if it's apartment wrestling and they're wrestling in my living room. Just because it's on TNT, suddenly everybody's supposed to care. Samoa Joe versus Trent. Right? I have nothing against Trent, but a majority of people out there don't really give a shit too much about it. This is a fantasy match. Unbelievable. This is an ad. And that rating, that quarter hour, did less than 500,000 viewers. So you see that instead of knowing your audience, and maybe you put it in the middle of the show, so you have some ups and some downs and you get him back up again. No, there's this repetitive. Look at Friday. Isn't the main event Friday? The main event Friday, I believe, for Rampage is Jay Lethal versus Konosuke Takeshita. If I was Jim Cornette, maybe if somebody gets this to him in time, instead of calling it Takeshita, I take a shita. So Jay Lethal versus Konosuke, I'm going to take a shita. Nothing against Konosuke, but he's not a household name yet. I'm sorry, at 5:30 at night on a Friday, you know, I'm not going to tear the house down like, oh, I got to see that. Jay Lethal versus Takeshita. Oh, my God, Forbidden Door. It's not, but you see where I'm going with this. It's not about Takeshita. And it's not about Deonna Purrazzo, and it's not about Mercedes Martinez, it's not about Jay Lethal, it's not about, you know, fucking Giant Khali 2.0 that they got. It's about taking this Ring of Honor stuff, and because he owns it, and he has this real deep emotional bond with Ring of Honor, and now he owns it, and he's fulfilling his fantasies. He's not only putting it on network television instead of the wrestlers that are being, you know, masqueraded on AEW YouTube, not only on TV, but they're main eventing over and over again. Main eventing, main eventing, main eventing. And it's hurting their numbers. So take note of something also. AEW, New Japan, they're going to have Forbidden Door at the United Center in Chicago. Now, I see what's going on online, everyone. You got people on the left, oh, that's a niche of a niche of a niche. And you got people online, that's epic, amazing, unbelievable, blah, 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 blah. My stance, very, very boring one. And yes, when you're boring, even if you're right, and even if it makes the total sense, if it's not sexy, it gets no attention. But what I said all along is that this is a win-win for AEW and New Japan. AEW fans get to see their favorites take on wrestlers that they don't normally see. I compared it to when ECW was supposed to have an event with FMW. Most of the FMW guys I never really paid attention to other than Onita. So I compared it to that. For New Japan, you see their weekly television, 40,000 viewers. New Japan, Access TV. You think everybody out there is disabled? Access? I don't know where Access is on my TV. I don't want to watch. I can't watch. I don't know. It's, you know, yeah, New Japan, but I don't, AXS, Axis, is it, what are we all disabled? We're mentally unstable that we can't, if we want to see something so bad in the world of, in the information age where you get everything instant. Hey Siri, what's the weather? Hey Alexa, what's the sports final? Hey Siri, tune into OnlyFans. I want to whack off. Everything is instant. You mean to tell me that people out there, if they wanted to see New Japan in the States so bad, they can't just go, hey Alexa, what channel is Access TV on Dish Network? You know, 40,000 viewers. So AEW and New Japan having an event together helps both sides. AEW fans are introduced to New Japan wrestlers because they're fighting their favorites. New Japan gets exposure, more exposure, in the United States. It is a win-win on both sides. So today, they had a pre-sale, and of course, you know, oh, well, there's 2,000 people in the queue or 20,000 people in the queue. 177,000 people are trying to buy tickets. You know, AEW fans sold out all the tickets today. That's awesome for AEW. Yes, scalpers bought a lot of tickets today. It doesn't matter. I've always said that. If I own a wrestling promotion and I put 1,000 tickets up for sale, and then it ends up that all 1,000 sell out, and I find out later on that 30% of the tickets that were sold to scalpers. Even if the scalpers demand too much money and they can't sell the tickets, and the night of the event they put it online for $1, that's not an insult on my company. That is a moron that got a little too greedy, couldn't sell their tickets quick enough, and then put it, at, you know, let me get something out of it. Here, give me a pack of gum. And I'll give you the tickets. I sold 1,000 tickets. I don't care who bought them. 1,000 tickets were sold. Concerts, decades of, I went to see Andrew Dice Clay in 1990. And I freaking overpaid because me and my friend wanted to sit like second row, first row. So we overpaid. Scalpers buy tickets. It's like the stock market. If they think that something is popular, they buy it. They don't buy it because they're obsessed with Wheeler Utah or John Moxley or Brian Danielson or CM Punk or anything. They buy it because they see AEW is a very popular promotion. So, of course, you're going to have thousands of people that are going to try to... Look, if I would have realized and I had time today, I probably would have considered going in there, buying a pair of tickets, even if I'm not going to go, and I throw them on eBay, see if I can make an extra $100, $200 out there. So selling out the tickets was awesome. Take note that this is AEW New Japan Forbidden Door. It's not Ring of Honor, Forbidden Door. And let's not forget, WrestleMania weekend, a couple of years ago, Ring of Honor, New Japan had an event in Madison Square Garden and sold it out. What happened to Ring of Honor a month, month and a half after that, 2 months after that? Was there such an influx of love for Ring of Honor suddenly that when they toured elsewhere, hey, now, you know, wow, look, we got 1,000 people tuning into our events. No, you looked at it, and it was so dark you couldn't realize that it was only two rows of fans. Once the Madison Square Garden event came and went, there was no trickle-down effect after that. So you look at New Japan, it's not meant for New Japan to suddenly be the number three in the United States. But take note, there's no Ring of Honor, Forbidden Door involved with this. It is AEW and New Japan. Ring of Honor right now is a name only. And you see the priorities that Tony Khan is putting out there. And the fans want to see AEW. They want that style. The match you saw last night, AEW fans are not emotionally attached to Deonna Purrazzo. And sorry, AEW fans are not that attached to Mercedes Martinez. I love Mercedes Martinez. I have professed my appreciation and always felt that she has been underutilized by the main promotions. So to see her win that championship, we said it on Monday, she was going to win the belt. Deonna Purrazzo is going to get the Eric Redbeard treatment, just like W. Morrissey. He's going to get the Eric Redbeard treatment. He comes in, he has a shot, and that's it. Gone. Nice payday, but that's it. Deonna Purrazzo is not under contract. So Mercedes Martinez unifies the titles because she is under contract. Could have saw that a mile away. So now, W. Morrissey, then we'll start doing questions because that's what tonight is all about. W. Morrissey yesterday took on Wardlow. One powerbomb later, it's over. Look, I have nothing but good to say about W. Morrissey. Emotionally, he has straightened himself out. Physically, the man looks like a beast. Believe it or not, this is a screenshot from tonight, Impact Wrestling. Why am I showing this? Because once again, everyone, if you remember what I said about Lars back in the day and others, it happened again yesterday with W. Morrissey. I sat and I watched show podcaster after podcaster after podcaster and even writers. They went out of their way yesterday to say, wow, W. Morrissey looks incredible. Where the fuck are they every week when W. Morrissey is on Impact Wrestling that they supposedly cover? William Morrissey hasn't been under the ground. He hasn't been hibernating in a cave for the last year or two. The motherfucker is on TV every single week. Why do you think because he goes through the AEW stage and not Impact Wrestling, suddenly he looks different? Suddenly there's extra muscles? What the fuck are these people talking about yesterday? So, and I laughed today. I laughed today because I saw news reports come out that WWE officials were very satisfied, were very impressed at W. Morrissey yesterday, and they would consider bringing him back. You look at W. Morrissey in Impact Wrestling, and you look at him from yesterday, you say he did nothing. So why didn't WWE watch it last week? Why didn't they watch it tonight? Why didn't they watch it 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago? You see how stupid it is? That's how the sausage is made, everyone. It just sounds like it makes sense. WWE officials were very impressed at W. Morrissey's AEW debut yesterday. Oh, really? Seriously? These WWE officials, they don't watch Impact? The fuck are they talking about? But you see, That's how the sausage is made, everyone. So how did the ratings go yesterday? Well, last week we were almost at a million for AEW. So yesterday, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, but we will talk about it on Saturday when we talk about Freddie Prinze Jr. a little bit more. Because for those that don't know, that's why I said 2024 is going to be epic. Because Freddie Prinze Jr. and Tony Khan will probably be the ones fighting each other out. If Freddie Prinze Jr. does what he claims he's going to do, we will get into it on Saturday in detail. But for those that don't know, Freddie Prinze Jr. announced that he is going to start his own wrestling promotion. He says, and this was a quote from his recent podcast, "Pro wrestling has been a passion of mine since I was a child, from watching with my grandmother to writing with WWE. Now I want to make a different kind of impact on the industry by launching my own wrestling company and bringing it back to the basics." So there's a few other bullet points that we'll talk about. But yesterday, you know, we had AEW. 1 year ago, they had over a million viewers, and that was because it was blood and guts. Remember the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle? That was a year ago this week, blood and guts. So anyway, yesterday's AEW Dynamite did 833,000 viewers. That is down, what, 15%? Now, I couldn't wait to go on all of these wrestling news websites to hear what fucking excuse they're going to put out this time. And the best example of it I could see, look, it's down, you know, 10, 15%, whatever it is, 10%. So you just leave it alone. You compared it from a year ago, fine. But now this time around, they have to add additional stuff. Because they can't just say, look, you know, the rating went down. You know, you had NBA on yesterday. Yeah, blame it on another fucking thing. But this is some of what I read today. By the way, that's the lowest rating in almost a year. Almost a year. They point out that Dynamite ranked number 4 on cable in the 18 to 49 demographic. That's just the percentage. It's not the overall viewers. We've talked about that before. Dynamite this week was ranked 36, which is actually better than last week's rank of 37. Last year, Dynamite went up against NBA's play-in game. Well, that's the last time that the rating was this low. They bring up that the NBA playoffs between the Mavericks and the Suns topped the night in 18 to 49 demographic. And then it says Survivor, everyone. They fucking still bringing up Survivor. Survivor on CBS topped the network for the night with an average viewership of 5.6 million viewers. This week's Dynamite was down 24% from 1 week ago. However, 2021 episode did not face any NBA competition. And it just goes on and on and on, making excuses. Here is the bottom line. And I've been saying the same thing for 25 years. Back then it was WWF, ECW, unfortunately, NWA, TNA, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, whoever else that was on TV. The bottom line is that yesterday a whole bunch of AEW fans felt that something else was more important than watching their product in real time, live on TV. Because when Survivor does a shit number, they don't turn around and say, well, you know, it was blood and guts on AEW Dynamite. If the NBA has a shit rating, well, you know, Rampage was on. You never see any other show out there blame somebody else. You blame yourself. You did not put on a product that made your show must-see TV over everyone else. AEW needs to convince their wrestling fans, look, what we're putting on TV is so fucking good. You could tape the basketball game. You could watch it in picture in picture. You could put the basketball game on your phone and watch us on regular TV. No. The point is that the fans still felt, you know what? I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to watch something else instead of watching AEW Dynamite. That is the fact. Imagine that shit. Imagine that you have the only people that should be saying this are the networks, the advertisers, and the wrestling promotions themselves. Always a fucking excuse. You see what's happening tonight, too? Think about the rating I just said, 833. What I found a lot of people do, and we're going to have fun with it on Saturday, the gotcha moment with WWE. Take note that whenever I talk about this, you never hear me compare it to WWE. I don't do that. Two totally different products. What I saw today was, even though AEW scored a horrendous rating of 833,000, because remember, think about everybody that was on Dynamite yesterday that was not on the AEW roster 1 year ago. When you start realizing how many of those names last night were not on TV a year ago, you realize that, wait a minute, not only do we have all these gigantic names, but the ratings are worse. So what would a rating have been? So you can't keep saying huge announcement. Tony Khan has a huge announcement. The lights go out. The lights go out again. The lights go out again. Huge announcement. Mega announcement. Unbelievable announcement. Earth-shattering announcement. Blah, 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 blah. Tony Khan, last week, we had a little fun with it. He actually wrote, and I have it saved for Saturday, he wrote on social media that last Friday's Rampage, he felt, was one of the greatest hours of wrestling AEW has ever put on. Now, you go back and you watch that hour last week and you see what is on. That is one of the greatest. So he can't get them anymore with announcement, tease, mega this, mega that, mega this. You know, just put out a good fucking product and tone down the toxicity. Because Tony Khan went after some fans yesterday, and one in particular bit him in the ass. Because one fan predicted that they were only going to get about 800,000 viewers, and guess what? That fan was pretty damn close. What Tony Khan's response was to that fan was awful. And the problem is, when Tony Khan says something derogatory, you got thousands of people waiting to do the same. They think they're impressing AEW. They think they're impressing Tony Khan. Right now, what is happening online, think of it like a dog pound. Think about dogs in a dog pound locked in cages. And you walk into that dog pound. You want to adopt the dog. So as you walk by, now picture you being Tony Khan and picture everybody in the cage being a podcaster, a journalist, people that are just over the top with their AEW cushing, just like on a weirdness level, okay? And look, there are anti-people that are just as weird, all right? But think about the ones that are over the top gushing right now. So as Tony Khan is walking by every cage, every dog is trying to hump his leg. Like, look, 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 I'm your best friend. Look, 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 I'm going to hump your leg. Look, I could do tricks. Look, I could lick my own dick. I could flip around. I could play dead. I could jump 35 feet. Look, acknowledge me, notice me, damn it. God damn it. Look, 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 look. And then what happens? He keeps walking by. So now that dog that's desperately trying to get Tony Khan's attention, well, guess what happens? Now Freddie Prinze Jr. walks into that dog pound. And that dog, if this is Tony Khan right here, and Tony Khan is not acknowledging the dog, and the dog's like, look, look, look. Look, I could pick my nose with my paw. And this is that. Look, look, look. And then, look, look, I'm your best friend, Freddie. Look, I could hump your leg. Look, I could pick my nose with my neck. You watch in 2024. You watch the shift of some whack jobs online that is suddenly going to gush for that motherfucker. You watch. Remember it. You know what's bad about this? I could write this on Twitter. I was going to write it tonight. Remember 2024, not just because of MJF's contract expiring. And I have a feeling they'll work out a little extension before then. But remember 2024, because if Freddie Prinze Jr. does, from what he has teased and from what I hear behind the scenes, it's going to be really interesting to see how the AEW audience reacts to it. Because they're already downplaying it, saying, oh, no TV? That doesn't mean anything. But yet, when wrestlers in AEW are not featured on network television, but they're all over AEW YouTube, well, you know what? The stats mean everything because AEW, it's still AEW, even though it's on YouTube. A few moments ago, I said, I never compare it to WWE, but there's a gotcha moment going on right now online, and people don't even realize that they have been gotcha'd. You know, remember Mike Johnson, that troll from PW Insider? I mean, I don't dislike him as much as I used to, but he's still a little troll. Remember when he tried to do the gotcha moment with Triple H about the weapons in the cage, and he was owned so bad that people were laughing in the background at Mike Johnson? I felt bad for Mike, but for me, that was, you know, I came. I had a mindgasm that night. I blew a load emotionally from hearing that. But he tried the gotcha, and he shot himself in the foot. What happened today was when people were making the 833 rating, trying to make it into a big thing, like, oh my God, fucking Jeff Hardy, Forbidden Door, Owen Hart this, Owen Hart that, women's unification, other thing, major this, Blunbelievable this, Ray Phoenix this, and this, and blah, 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 the super elite, the mega unbelievably elite. And the ratings still tanked like that. You know what a bunch of people are doing? Well, you know what? That rating doesn't really matter. They just sold out 20,000 seats in the United Center. Friends, think about what these people are now saying. They're saying the rating is, it's not a big deal because they just sold out the United Center. Isn't that the same fucking thing when WWE's ratings are in a shitter on TV? And then you try to say, well, they got billions of dollars coming in, record revenue. And like, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. The revenue doesn't matter. It's about creative. It's about Bruce. It's about Vince. It's about this. It's about this sucks and this sucks and creative sucks and this sucks and this sucks. I don't care how much money they're bringing in. Vince McMahon, I know you told Pat McAfee that we have to please the investors. You're a liar. You're a liar. If Vince McMahon was lying, he'd be in jail right now for stock fraud. Triple H tells The Athletic that we have to turn NXT into developmental. We have to create the stars from 5 years from now. And we bring people in, and after 6 months, if we feel they have not progressed, we will let them go. Some people we will regret letting go, and someone else will train them, and we'll bring them back. Triple H, he's a liar. He is just saying that to please Vince McMahon. So Vince doesn't further bury Triple H's legacy. So the revenue in the billions don't matter because what we see on TV is horrendous. But in the case of AEW, even though the ratings, and man, wait till you see that quarter hour rating. I mean, look, I could be wrong, but I saw an abnormal number of people yesterday like, man, I can't watch this main event. You have set up your fans, especially for the women, that they have to go through tables. They have to use kendo sticks. They got to use chairs, sometimes thumbtacks, crazy run-ins, a whole bunch of a mess, a hot mess. The fans are now getting used to seeing train wrecks, constant train wrecks. And unless you have that emotional connection, CM Punk can get away with it. FTR can get away with it. Bryan Danielson can get away with it. Jon Moxley. If the fans have that attachment to their wrestlers, they can get away with it. Even the comedic wrestlers in AEW can get away with it. Deonna Purrazzo, Mercedes Martinez have virtually no connection with the fans, that emotional investment. So they're doing what they're doing. FTR could have been FTR wrestling wearing Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Martinez Halloween costumes. and the crowd, look at how they reacted. So AEW's got a bigger problem than you think. And just because you throw two women on TV for 20 minutes, oh, we filled that quota. See, women's wrestling is being featured a lot more. It's the presentation. It's the presentation. Know your audience. It feels like Tony Khan, it's more about making statements and making these, you know, social statements. You know, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. Oh, we feature this. Oh, wrestler from India. Oh, this and that. Just put on a good fucking product. Put on a good product. So, all right. We got into enough of that. So, the results from yesterday, just to give you the match results, Jeff Hardy beat Bobby Fish to qualify for the Owen Hart tournament. And we do have the brackets. I'll show them to you in a minute because a few of you asked me about a Joker. We had the Blackpool Combat Club beating Angelico, the Butcher, and the Blade. Wardlow over William Morrissey. Chris Jericho beating Santana. Rey Fénix beat Dante Martin to qualify for the Owen Hart tournament. And your main event, Mercedes Martinez beating Deonna Purrazzo to become the undisputed Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Rampage for this Friday, we have Toni Storm and Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. We have JD Drake versus Hook. We have Riho versus Yuka Sakazaki to qualify for the Owen Hart Women's Tournament. And Jay Lethal, as I said earlier, versus Konosuke Takeshita. NXT Spring Breakin' on Tuesday. We had Cameron Grimes retain the North American Championship, beating Carmelo Hayes and Solo Sikoa. My favorite match of the night was pretty good. Sikoa, you know it's only a matter of time before he goes to the main roster. Carmelo Hayes has it. They're going to take a little extra time on Carmelo Hayes and make sure everything is absolutely perfect before they graduate him to the main roster. Nathan Frazier over Grayson Waller in an upset. That was the only match that I ended up getting wrong. It was a good match. Nathan Frazier is really talented. I think maybe it was nerves, but we saw during the watch party a couple of spots being repeated. It seemed like, you know, there might have been a little bit of confusion on both sides. I mean, Grayson Waller is starting to very quietly put it together as well. And, you know, you look at the roster. We were bringing up on Patreon yesterday the 2021, you know, breakout tournament that they did. And almost everybody on that list has really gotten better at their craft. 2019, the inaugural that Jordan Miles won, you look at even everybody who was in that tournament, almost everybody has progressed. So you do see some names really progressing quite nicely. And unfortunately, the more and more I hear with Harland, remember, I was really, really, you know, looking forward to Harland. WWE officials were very disappointed at his progress. Not as fast a learner as they expected. And, you know, I don't know exactly how much they paid Harland, Parker Boudreau, to sign him, but it wasn't entry-level money like others that they have signed. And after almost a year, you know, WWE felt like, look, it's just not anywhere near the level of what it should be. I hope he stays in it. I brought it up before last week. I hope he stays in wrestling. I hope he attaches himself to a wrestling school, something pretty well known, and he keeps at it. Because if he could put it together, that guy will be a big star in the future. Right now, though, you know, something just isn't there. Cora Jade and Nikita Lyons over Natalya and Lash Legend. We had the Creed brothers beat the Viking Raiders. That match was very sloppy. The Creed brothers are doing well, too, but this was, you look at it, it was so obvious the Viking Raiders had to tone it down dramatically to get on the same level as the good. Sometimes when you bring in veteran main roster stars, sometimes you do that because if this is the main roster star, even if they're not a main eventer, you hope that the person that they're working with, they bring up a little bit. Dolph Ziggler was able to bring up Bron Breakker a little bit. Natalya, I don't know how much she helped in this match. It's probably only a one-shot deal, so it was really not too much. You know, what she did with Cora Jade, I don't think it really had any lasting effect. AJ Styles going there for that didn't really have any long-term effects. But yesterday, it was so obvious, or Tuesday, it was so obvious that the Viking Raiders, the Creed brothers really did not turn it up a notch. It was more like the Viking Raiders had to turn it down quite a bit. And it was a mess. But the Creed brothers are definitely on their way. And we had Bron Breakker retaining the NXT championship against Joe Gacy. And then we had a little bit of old school that we went off the air with a cliffhanger. And this is a super chat that came in a little bit earlier. Mikey Ravello, evening, DT and family. Quick question from NXT Spring Breakin'. Who do I think are the Druids that attack Bron Breakker? Will Donstradamus strike again? I like that. Donstradamus. I can't wait for the Finn Balor. See what that ends up. I talked about this yesterday on Patreon. The only thing we know about the Druids that attacked Bron Breakker and put him on a stretcher afterwards is that they're white. Just to say it like that, they're white. Their hands, their arms, that's all you can see. They're white. I don't know how they would look. You got to remember that there are other people in developmental for WWE that we have not seen on TV yet. So it's very, very hard to look at some students that they signed recently and think, oh, this person's ideal or this person's ideal. Hell, I would have never thought that Tony D'Angelo would have had those two guys aligning with them. Would I have thought that they looked like, you know, like gangsters or young wannabe gangsters, you know, from the neighborhood? No, I would have never envisioned that. Believe it or not, they look more like 1920s gangsters than anything else. So if we're looking at name value, I wonder if it's possibly the Grizzled Young Veterans. Again, I don't know them going to the dark side with Joe Gacy. I don't know how that would fit. I'm open to anything, but I'm wondering if it's the Grizzled Young Veterans. Either they go back to NXT UK, or we even talked about the idea, could they possibly become part of Night Model Management? I don't know. Would the Grizzled Young Veterans look really good in polished suits and a little bit clean cut? Maybe, maybe not. So I don't know. I don't know. We will see. But my initial thing is, if we're using recognizable names, I say the Grizzled Young Veterans. And, you know, hey, Ray Guns is telling me, DT, now go home and get your shine box. The sit-down that Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar had, it was obviously over-the-top goofy. I actually liked the segment. You know, it was funny because when we were at the watch party Tuesday, and by the way, you know, if you missed the watch party on Tuesday, I was giving out a signed, this is better. Okay. A Bron Breakker signed 8x10. I think that is such a cool portrait, and it has his father in the background as a silhouette, and it is autographed by Bron Breakker, and somebody is going to win that. In fact, I will tell you right now, Rams fan, and I think it was JD. Was it JD? They were the two that were the most active on the floor chatting it up Tuesday. If I could get another one, then I'm going to give both of them the Bron Breakker signed photo. So I can't make the promise yet because I'm trying to get a second one, but if I could get a second one through my contact, then yeah, they will win it. And tomorrow, Friday, Rampage will be on starting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. If you are around tomorrow and you want to show up tomorrow, six of you, I almost said sick of you, six of you will win an AEW Tops CM Punk card. This is straight from Tops. It is sealed in the plastic. Six of them we will be giving away. Six different people will win a card tomorrow. All you really got to do is show up and hang out. Very simple. And again, I'm very surprised that those cards are still worth what they are. I went on eBay the other day just out of curiosity. And I'm like, holy shit, people are still selling them for up to $60 a card. I mean, I was very surprised. I expected their value to go down to like $10. But they're still actually selling pretty good. So, you know, if anybody wants to tune in tomorrow, 5:30 to 6:30, we'll be Rampage. And we'll give away a half a dozen of those cards. All right. So we were joking with, who's that guy that's with Tony D'Angelo, the owner of the hockey promotion? What's his name again? I keep forgetting his name. When we were in the watch party, you know, everybody thought that to sit down, oh, Tony D'Angelo, Santos Escobar, they're going to be buddies now, that they have agreed to have peace and they're going to, you know, work together. I went in the watch party. I know Rams fan is live right now and he will vouch for me on this. I said, that's not the way it works. That is a setup. And sure enough, towards the end of the show, what's that guy's name? It's like two initials. Somebody in the chat room knows. Who's the guy that's with Tony D'Angelo? AJ Galante, not Galente. Galente, isn't that a shaving cream? AJ Galante. But Devin, you're close enough. AJ Galante. He's going to his car, and Santos Escobar is there. He's like, hey, I'm glad we worked stuff out. And I was in the chat, I'm like, no, it's a setup. Sure enough, they took him, they threw him in the car. Now, they're not going to obviously say it, but the storyline will probably be that he got whacked. There was a message sent. I don't know if he has any famous jewelry or any articles of clothing, but I think next week, Tony D'Angelo should get a box sent to the Performance Center. Nothing gory, but he opens up the box, and maybe it's his possessions. Now, if you want to go a little bit AEW TV 14, there could be like a plastic finger in there. You know, hey, we sent the message. AJ Galante, his finger is cut off. So, yeah, I know AJ Galante is not necessarily the ideal choice, but hey, he's a wrestling fan. He looks good in the part. I have no problem with him in that role. No problem. I did get a kick out of what they did with Indy Hartwell and Duke Hudson. As soon as we saw them in the room, we said, oh, there's the storyline. Dexter Lumis and Persia Peralta, they decided to hook up and disappear. They left their significant others. So they're kind of teasing that Duke Hudson and Indy Hartwell, the two scorned lovers, will now become an item. So that's what we have to look forward to. Oof. And they did more goofiness. Speaking of goofiness, I was clearing out my desk today, and this popped up again. It was behind my desk. And guys, gals, this is not a joke. WCW came out with this in, 2000? I mean, seriously, the hair is not manipulated. Who in WCW went to Sting back then and said, hey, we got this great merchandise idea. You're going to look like Ace Frehley of Kiss, but we're going to make your hair all nappy. And I got to be very careful how I say that because I don't want to get my mouth into trouble. But yeah, this was an actual item that WCW sold back in the day. All right, before we do questions, one other tidbit. And I won't get into trouble because I got permission, but I have to obviously eliminate a little bit of sound. But today is the 20th anniversary that WWE, or I should say WWF, got the F out. Now, see, it's a little bit, you know, different because a lot of people say 20 years ago today, WWF got the F out. No, the actual facts, because obviously I lived through it, is WWF, World Wrestling Federation, was being sued by the World Wildlife Fund for their WWF scratch logo that they did in the late 90s. So what WWF did was, for a very short period of time, they changed the letters to WWFE, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment. And I was doing my wrestling hotline at the time, and everybody thought that was god-awful. Because, you know, when you set up a promotion, especially with letters, you know, some promotions, it's cool to chant the names. Like ECW, people used to love to chant ECW. AEW is another very catchy, you know, when NWA TNA was still NWA TNA, you didn't really have the fans going NWA, TNA, NWA, TNA. No, they would just go TNA, TNA. You know, the three syllables is what is most popular. The three syllables. You go like this. So I remember covering on my hotline, I'm like, I just can't picture fans going WWFE, WWFE, WWE. I mean, if you had a good enough crowd, you get a bunch of different fans only yell E, and you get different fans go WWF, but it's too complicated. So, yeah, we didn't never really had W. Well, you see, here's the thing, Larry. Back, even ECW was really the first promotion that, for me, the letters were chanted as loud as they were. I mean, we had indie promotions before that, that fans would chant the letters, but not in unison like it was. You didn't have fans chant WCW. You didn't have chants really for AWA. ECW was really the first one that it really caught fire. With WWF, you never really heard people chanting those letters. It just didn't sound cool. But WWFE is even worse. So when they went from WWF to WWFE, Vince McMahon's idea was, okay, we're sports entertainment. He has been professing that they're sports entertainment since the 80s, the mid-80s. I have video of him saying on camera to Entertainment Tonight in the mid-80s, we are sports entertainment. So he added the word entertainment after it, but they didn't like it a lot. Nobody online liked it, and everything came back awful. So they decided to do a campaign to get the F out. You know, it's like, get the fuck out. But it's get the F out. So it was WWFE. You get rid of the F. Now you have WWE. So this was 20 years ago. I still have a lot of my old photos where somebody photoshopped Steve Austin giving a stunner to a panda. This one was one that I had to pull out as well. I mean, it's amazing that it's been 20 years already. I will tell you that it took me about 2 years to really get used to it. Now, looking back 20 years later, for me, how I look at the letters is when I think of WWF, I think of Attitude Era and older. Even though WWE has been around since 02, but for me, it's Attitude Era and older. That is WWF. WWE is more when they went more kid-friendly, even though it took about 3 years to get to that point. But, you know, somebody online posted a clip, and I'm going to share with you because there's actually three clips here. The third one I probably can't play because it's a, you know, it's Marilyn Manson music. But, you know, for me, in all of the intros for WWE over the years, this opening 10, 15 seconds, it's not even close. This was my favorite opening that WWE had ever put on. And I know we won't have any issues with this because it's so quick, but any of you remember this? I had to cut out the audio twice because that's a little, you have to do that. So, but this is one of the commercials that they did to get the F out. So it was awesome. But you look at this intro now, you know, look, when I see, I understand young wrestling fans out there that want to relive the Monday Night Wars, even though it's not directly, you know, but it is sort of a war, WWE versus AEW. I know people want to recreate that so bad. And it's obviously created a toxic atmosphere online, no question. But when you go back to 2002 and you look at WWE's roster in 2002, I personally think 2002 to 2004 is the greatest wrestling roster in the history of pro wrestling. You know, this is what happens when you got that kind of cash. Now, unfortunately, I can't play the Marilyn Manson music. That is also my favorite SmackDown intro music also. When they did Beautiful People for a very short period of time, I loved it. But I want you to just look at the screen and just look at the wrestlers, and you realize 2002, 20 years ago today, this is what the roster was. I have to cut out the audio. We don't want any problems. I mean, the roster is stacked from top to bottom. I mean, it's amazing when you realize how stacked their roster was. Yep. And listen, I didn't realize Taz is doing commentary for 20 years. Taz. This is 20 years ago. All right, a little more. Just want to get a little Taz. 20 years ago, Taz. Yeah. Here's Taz. I know it's only a couple of seconds, but we don't want any trouble on here. But 20 years ago, man, get the F out. I mean, the roster was an unbelievable. 2002 to 2004, maybe 05 even you trickle in, because then you're talking about, you know, Cena getting a little bit of momentum. You know, Randy Orton obviously was already starting to get there. Yeah, 89 was good too. I'm not saying it wasn't, but this was just, it was amazing because you had WCW, ECW, WWE all under the same banner. So, yeah, 20 years ago. Amazing. All right. So we are an hour in. So for the rest of the show, I am going to be answering your questions. Now, before we do anything, somebody sent a question in early, one of our channel members, that I put in the queue to make sure that I answered it. So let me answer this first, and then I'll tell you exactly, you know, how to submit the questions. Very, very easy. Like I said, you don't have to super chat. But if you post a question and I answer it, just, you know, let others post a question as well so we could get into theirs. And then you could send something again afterwards. But here is one from James Campbell. He remembers hearing from Big Show in an interview a while back that he was sent to OVW, perhaps a bit after debuting or around the early 2000s. Do I know reasons or stories behind this? And it's a great question, because this actually almost coincides with the time period that we're talking about. Here's the facts, and this is what I remember from it. Big Show, in WWE's eyes, a little too heavy. And he was gone, I don't know if it was from August or September of 01 until early 02. I think, or it might have been 02 to 03, but it was about, I would say 4 months or so, 6 months. They sent him to OVW to lose weight. Plain and simple. Right around this time, he ended up having his head shaved as well. He was back on WWE TV when he had his head shaved. I think Mark Jindrak, was he the one that shaved his head? But no, Big Show was sent to OVW to get in a little bit better shape. He had gotten way too heavy, and they wanted him to get under, I think it was either 350 or 400 pounds. They felt that Big Show had gotten a little bit too heavy. So, all right, Rams fan is saying from May to January. Okay, so that's a little bit longer than 6 months. But, yeah, it was – okay, so it was before 2002. All right, so it was summer of 2000 to January of 01. But it was, you know, that about that stretch of time. They wanted him to lose weight. And, you know, he definitely got himself in a little bit better shape. But, yeah, he went to OVW to lose weight. So I hope that answered your question. A super chat came in. What school do you go to? It's not Ali. It's Ali. Yes. That's why I can't stand Theory. Them only using the one name. I'll tell you this much. So far, they've gotten away with it. They don't mention his name too much on TV, if you notice. Once in a while, they do kind of make a mistake, and they will say Austin. It's happened once or twice already. But I personally think Austin Theory will get his name back eventually. Just like we all figured that Mustafa Ali, when they would just call him Ali, they would bring back his name also. But I, why? Because Steve Austin is back a little bit. You know, it can't be two Austins. Well, they should have thought about that before they named him Austin Theory. You know, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Theory, it's not, it's stupid. It just one name, it's stupid. I don't think that'll last forever. And believe me, I remember when Edge or Test first came around, and especially with Edge, I'm like, I can't ever picture them, you know, having someone heavyweight title just named Test or Edge. Obviously, Edge, it was a different scenario as years went by, but Theory, as it's awful. It's definitely awful. All right. So when you post a question, all I ask is, before your question, write in capital letters the word question. This way it stands out, because I know a lot of you like to chat in the chat room, so that helps a little bit. Harris, Big Show was definitely eating a little bit too much beefaroni. Definitely a little bit too much beefaroni. He got himself in better shape. I mean, look at him now. And you know what? It put a smile on my face to see how much Paul White is still searched on social media. I'm sure you've all by now seen that list that came out that Brandon Thurston did the research of the most searched wrestling names online. And it's amazing when you realize AEW is almost non-existent. I think outside of Jeff Hardy, Sting, and Paul White, I mean, no one is close. I think the only one that was close was CM Punk. And CM Punk, they're searching for Ezekiel just as much as they're searching for CM Punk. So it really puts in perspective, you know, really how much certain names are being viewed. But Paul White is like really high on that list. And it's cool to see that fans are still seeking him out. So Rams fan is asking me, did I ever eat Chef Boyardee when WWE was sponsoring them? Not because of WWE doing it. I mean, I just remember Mankind, beefaroni. You know, it's the food for all mankind or something. You know, beefy. I remember it. But I was already eating a little bit of Chef Boyardee. I was not on keto at that time, and I would eat the cans. When I would eat it sometimes cold. If I was too lazy to even wait 2 minutes to heat it up, I would just take the can, put it in a plate, sprinkle some grated cheese on top of it, and eat it. I used to take SpaghettiOs and mix in a little bit of that, what's that soft yellow cheese? Velveeta? I think it's Velveeta. You take SpaghettiOs and you put in like a big piece of Velveeta, and then you microwave it, and the cheese melts, and you have like a cheesy SpaghettiOs, especially if you're out drinking or for some of you smoking, that is definite epic munch food to have. And it's cheap. It's cheap. I mean, I know they're now like $2 a can, but back in the day, they were probably like 99 cents. So let's see. Harris B, would Joe Gacy have fit in well during the Attitude Era or the original ECW? Boy, I don't know about ECW. I don't know. See, Raven, with his attitude, his style, his persona, if anybody remotely came off as a copy in some way, I think you would have been eaten alive. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of Joe Gacy. Believe me, please do not take this the wrong way. But I just think back to ECW back then. If he... Well, let me answer it like this. Joe Gacy would have had to have put in many more years, another year or two at minimum, before ECW. If he would have came into ECW now, number one, he would not do the Tajiri move. That's obvious. But I think if he didn't get over, you would have had a lot of that crowd chanting, "You fat fuck, you fat fuck, you fat fuck." They did it to some men who were skinnier than Joe Gacy. I don't know how he would have came across. I don't think he would have really worked in the Attitude Era. His character would have to be a lot more complicated. I will say this. If Joe Gacy would have survived in the Attitude Era, they would have had to have been a lot more extreme with his character. There would have been a lot more violence. There would have been a lot more, you know, in your face. And during the Attitude Era, they probably would have done it. Look, I think MJF, and I brought this up before, if MJF were ever to go to WWE, he would not be able to say half the things he says now. If he would have went to WWE during the Attitude Era, he probably would have gotten away with a lot more. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize he's a monster heel in AEW. And that's because AEW allows him to say some shit that you would never, ever be able to get away with in a lot of other promotions, especially about calling somebody's mother a crackhead and a whore and this and that. I mean, that's, even for pro wrestling standards, you go back even into the 70s and the 80s and the Wild Wild West, it didn't even get into that territory most of the time. So, you know, when you're allowed to say whatever you want and really, really get down and dirty and say some of the most awful things, sure, almost anyone would get toxic reaction from the crowd. Joe Gacy would have had to have done a hell of a lot more. Hell of a lot more. Okay. Juan Espinoza. Do I think the reason a lot of AEW's fan base doesn't like WWE because it's family friendly? No. A lot of people online want to come across that they're renegades, that they're against the status quo, that it comes across that WWE does not listen to their audience. They listen to their investors first. You know, they portray that they listen to their audience, but a lot of people online feel that WWE does not cater to them. That's why, if you notice, when people, you know, I'm not talking about the everyday wrestling fan. 99% of you out there, you're just wrestling fans that want to have some fun. You have your favorites. You have people you dislike. You have some fun debating some of your friends that may absolutely love something that you don't. There's no maliciousness involved. But that very small percentage of them online, the ones that are loud, they shout over everybody. You know, that's the thing you need to understand. Just because you have 10, 20,000 people online that are extremely vocal about Forbidden Door and this and that, keep in perspective, you're only talking about 10 to 20,000 people on social media. That does not represent the majority of wrestling fans out there. And if you look, it's usually the same suspects. But what you also noticed is that the people online that do that, they are trying to be noticed. They will always hashtag the wrestlers' names. They will put at, they'll put it in the bottom. They'll say something, then they'll at somebody afterwards. They'll just write about every little thing. The person could say, "Oh, wow, I woke up this morning and I almost ran out of toilet paper, LOL." And you'll see people like right away, "Yeah, that happened to me 2 weeks ago. Don't you hate what then happens? Oh, by the way, what's your favorite toilet paper? This, I'm a huge fan of yours. Acknowledge me, acknowledge me." So they think they have a better shot with AEW. They feel it's more of an intimate audience out there. So some of the radical fan base for AEW does that. With WWE, their radical fan base, their radical fan base is used to not being acknowledged by WWE. Vince, Triple H, other, they don't go on social media, you know? And you know how you know when a wrestling fan is just trying to get noticed? I'll tell you how. When somebody famous, whether it's Tony Khan or CM Punk or anybody else, the minute, and when I tell you this, you start looking out for it and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The minute a famous person responds to what somebody said, it's like the Guinness World Record. They always respond back within 5 to 10 minutes of the post. It could be 4:30 in the morning and it could be out like a light. And if they get that special sounding alert on their phone that somebody responded to what they said and they pop up and it's Tony Khan responding, you see every single time, every time somebody addresses a particular wrestler and they get a response within 10 minutes, they could be driving on the highway doing 80 miles an hour and they'll just pull to the side of the road. You know, I'm sorry if I look at the Tammy one. That was just the worst one of them all. Guy calls her out for the accident, and she puts it in his face within 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I will do better in my result. Everybody does that. They get a response. That's it. That's it. Within 10 minutes, they got to respond. Like there's an expiration date. You'll see it nonstop. But for rabid WWE fans, they're more anti-AEW, and that seems to be their fun thing to do because they're not going to get an acknowledgement from most people within WWE. You know, once in a while you get a like, you know, or an appreciation from a wrestler out there, but if you say something against the grain, you'll rarely ever see anybody in WWE ever respond to it. So, all right, let's see what other questions we have. And again, just put the word question before it. We're going to wrap this up in a couple of minutes because Saturday I will be back here for the Don Tony Show. And we got a loaded show to get into Saturday. For our channel members here on Friday night, I will put up the thread for the predictions contest for WrestleMania Backlash. Same thing for our Patreons out there. Michael Gonzalez, if Vince ever decides to sell WWE, any chance The Rock would buy it like he did XFL? If The Rock could get enough investors, anybody could buy it. I don't know if The Rock would be good as an executive for WWE. And that's not a knock on The Rock. Just because you have a lot of money and just because you're a celebrity or even if you're a wrestler doesn't necessarily mean you'd be a good executive. Any group of investors could buy it. But you're talking about a crazy amount of money. I personally think a TV production company, a movie company, you know, something like that, I think would be the likely candidates to buy WWE if they were ever to sell. I don't see a handful of investors. This is not like Bischoff from 2001, even though you're talking, you know, a lot less money. But no, I see like a major corporate conglomerate buying the company. That's just my opinion. So, Dreamers Lane, I feel bad what you're asking. With AEW bringing in W. Morrissey over from Impact, do I see any wrestlers coming over to AEW? W. Morrissey, in my opinion, is getting the Eric Redbeard treatment. Bring someone in. Pay extra to bring them in. You know, a lot of these wrestlers, again, you know, COVID was the forbidden door. Period. COVID is the forbidden door. Tony Khan does not want to intellectually, you know, trademark wrestler names or anything like that. So it's more appealing for a wrestler that they could sell their own merchandise, that if they leave AEW, they could still use the same name when they go elsewhere. They could wrestle for other promotions. They could go on Cameo. They could go on Twitch. They could do conventions, autograph signings. They could you do whatever they want as long as it doesn't conflict with AEW's schedule. So Impact Wrestling, when you look at some of the bigger names there, they can't afford to have them under exclusive deals. So they are able to work elsewhere. And in the case of Impact Wrestling, they want attention. Look at the Briscoes. Look at the Briscoes. The Briscoes are in Impact Wrestling right now. And they can't generate more than 100,000 viewers. What does that tell you? That fans are not going to change the channel in droves simply because their favorite is seen on TV. You see that noise out there. They think that if the Briscoe signed with AEW, it would be the most unbelievable, biggest moment of 2022. Yet the Briscoes are on Impact Wrestling right now, and it doesn't move the needle whatsoever. So because they're under Tony Khan's regime, that suddenly there's this gigantic interest, it's like going to a restaurant. You're going there for particular items, but if there's something else on the menu also, you know, you may order it once in a while. But none of these wrestlers are tearing the house down. Why you put Hangman Page on Rampage? Heavyweight title match. You know, pretty damn good one in itself against Adam Cole. That can't even get a good viewership. I mean, other than CM Punk's debut, I mean, the ratings, it doesn't matter. You could call it the most unbelievable hour in wrestling, most stupendous hour AEW's ever put on. And still, that should show you that there isn't this gigantic group of wrestling fans out there that are just sitting on the sideline. And once the wrestling promotion could find the right combination, you know, there isn't a boatload of wrestling fans sitting in a safe right now. And right now, Tony Khan is trying to figure out the combination, or Impact Wrestling, or someone else. And once they figure out the combination and they open the safe, suddenly you're going to see a couple of 100,000 extra viewers tune in. It has to be a major, you know, exodus from WWE. And sorry, nothing against Toni Storm. For a very small group of people out there, it's epic, unbelievable, amazing. Now you realize 2022, Toni Storm is probably going to wrestle 10 matches. 10 matches. Where in WWE, somebody probably wrestles 10 matches in a month. You look at some of the other wrestlers. Didn't Andrade, get like 3 wins in the first 12 months of AEW or 10 months of AEW? So there's all this smoke and mirrors going on there, but when you realize a whole year has gone by and you've only had 10 matches, I mean, how does that benefit anybody's career? So, okay. Rob S., will Liv Morgan get a push as a single star? She is getting a push. She just isn't getting any titles right now. Liv Morgan has got a nice following, believe me. Once we start giving away the Liv Morgan photos, especially that Britney Spears one. I think I have it here. I think we might, you know what? Maybe we'll do it for Friday. Maybe we'll do it Friday. All right, tomorrow for the watch party. We're going to do the CM Punk cards during Rampage. But if you join a watch party tomorrow night for SmackDown, I will give away not only this, but we'll give away a couple other women as well. Someone will win some autographed photos. I know you're saying, like, how did you get that? WWE sent me a stack, and they're not for sale. If you go on eBay, you will not find them. There's some crazy-ass ones here. This one seems to be getting a little bit of popularity. This is from last week, the Sasha Banks, Sailor Moon. We got it. You know, they sent me a bunch. Hey, could you send me some photos? Yeah, no problem. You know? And you know what? Check this out, everybody. And look, that's why I am a little bit nicer towards WWE. Because I've asked, is there right if I air a little clip, something? Just keep it under 5 seconds, no problem. That's it. I got flagged for the Royal Rumble watch-along that I did the year before. And I got flagged on Facebook. And I sent an email to WWE. I said, look, it was in the background. You could hardly hear it. I said, you know, I don't stream on Facebook anymore. I said, but, you know, can you just check that? 24 hours later, the flag was removed. You know, you ask, and you're nice. Look, I sent Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose. You may remember, late last year, I did a couple of contests here, and someone was winning 3 Mandy Rose photos, unsigned, But this is when she first went to NXT with the brunette hair. Nobody had any photos. These were three beautiful promo photos. The person that won said, I don't want the photos. So I said, okay. So I took the photos. I sent it to the developmental center. And I put a little note in there for Mandy Rose. And I said, look, I do a podcast online. I give away some prizes from time to time. I don't charge anybody, you know, to win. I said, you know, I would appreciate if you could sign these photos. And I promise not to sell them on eBay. And she signed them and sent them back. And I got three extra ones as well. Sent me other ones too. So sometimes when you ask, you know, it's nice when you get a response. But little tidbit. Do you remember 2-3 weeks ago, they did a segment on SmackDown where Kofi and Xavier were sitting at a desk and they were signing photos. And then Butch came out of nowhere and jumped the desk, the table, and started beating up on Kofi and Xavier. Remember that segment? It was cool. Kofi and Xavier was autographing photos backstage on SmackDown, and Pete Dunne, you know, Butch, dove across the table and started attacking them. That's where these photos come from. They actually, when they show up, they'll go in the back, sit at a table, and they'll sign about 50 of them. And WWE, you request it, WWE will send you stuff. So once in a while, I send a letter. I'm like, hey, you know, if you have any photos, they're sending me Johnny Knoxville from WrestleMania. They're sending me a few others. I have Ronda Rousey photos here from WrestleMania. So it's pretty cool. I've yet to ever get anything from AEW. I'm not going to lie. Somebody sent me a box of their cards, but I think it was Tops more than anything. I don't think it was... Or Upper Deck. No, it's Upper Deck, right? Yeah, Upper Deck. But they sent me the box. We did the unboxing that time. So, all right. Let's get a couple of more questions in here, and we'll get out of here. As you notice on Thursdays, I try to incorporate some news also. You know, I had a few people, they're like, oh, Thursdays and Sundays are too similar. No, they're not. Sundays are strictly live chat and calls and questions. On Thursdays, I try to incorporate some news, input a little NXT and Dynamite as well. I'm probably going to bring back Wednesday Night Dynamite next Wednesday. It's either going to be next Wednesday or the Wednesday after. I don't want to bring it back just to bring it back. You know, I feel if we have a nice conversation on Thursdays, you know, there's no reason why we can't wait to Thursdays, but a lot of you are in the mood Wednesday night, so I may be bringing it back next Wednesday. If I bring it back, it'll stay. But I think Butch will be back Friday. If he's not back Friday, he's got to be back by next week. So the Tammy stuff, we should hear something any day. I don't want to jump the gun. I already have a good idea as far as what's going down. But again, you know, I'm not jumping the gun. You know, I know it's a little boring to some, but I'm not going to put myself in a situation making accusation. First of all, I don't want to be wrong. But second of all, if I make an accusation and it's not 1,000% accurate, I'm not putting myself in a position of possibly being sued for slander simply because I wanted to get a little bit of extra attention on my shows. I don't like doing that. Even the clickbait stuff. I have no interest in doing that. So, Cappy Caveman. Cappy Caveman. You know what that reminds me of? That old 70s show, Captain Caveman? Captain Caveman! Cappy Caveman, welcome to the family. La nostra familia. I have no idea what you're talking about with the Alabama cop situation. I have not seen anything on the news. I will check it out later. I did see that guy that tried to attack Dave Chappelle. I heard on the news today that the guy's a rapper. And he actually had a gun, or it was a knife that kind of looked like a gun. How did that even get past security? But they fucked that guy up, man. I mean, his arm was like this. I almost wrote a tweet saying, you know, like Alexa Bliss would be proud. Because Alexa Bliss is double jointed. That guy's not double jointed. He was in a stretcher and his arm looked like, you know, oof. But why jump? I mean, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. When he gets better and he gets out of jail, what does he think he's going to sell? He's going to sell like extra records because of it? Is he going to rap about it? Stupid. Ah, the Mets won tonight. Very cool. Very cool. Oh, that prisoner. Are you talking about the prisoner that was let out by that blonde corrections officer? Listen, that is no joke, man. Any of you out there have seen that story, that woman, her life's at stake, man. Even though they had a two-year relationship, she let that killer out of jail, and she ran off with him. Man, it reminds me of that promo that Jake the Snake Roberts used to say that Trump tried to use a little bit. You know, the snake, remember? You know, the woman takes in the snake, and the snake is almost dying, and she feeds him, she takes care of him, and, you know, the snake gets better, and then at the end, the snake ends up biting her, and she's about to die, and she's like, why did you do that? I brought you back. You almost died. I gave you nourishment. I healed you. I gave you nothing but love. Why did you do that to me? Because I'm a fucking snake. You know, I was like, this guy, she got him out of jail, and they're on the run. I mean, that sex better be good, because her life's in danger, man. Her life's in some serious danger. I mean, what is she going to do? Keep him in a log cabin somewhere and the handcuffs have to stay on him? One day he's going to beg her, please, let me feel what it's like. I want to hug you. Let me feel what it's like to be without handcuffs out in the open. I want to hug a tree. I want to rip the grass. You know, I want to swim. So he takes those cuffs off. It's not funny, man. That's scary shit. She sold her house for money. I wonder if his name is Liv Morgan. I'm trying to make light of a horrible situation, so. Did I ever watch Naked and Afraid? No. No. Because I have had many times in my house where I'll pass the bathroom and I'm like, yep, Naked and Afraid. No, no, no. Surprised nobody asked me my thoughts on the abortion stuff going on. That was a popular question on Patreon yesterday. It was like five people that all asked the same question, my thoughts on it. So, a little surprised. I wonder how you all feel about the wrestlers being very outspoken about social issues like that. Now people are saying, hey, what do you think about it? You know, look, I'll say this because I know CM Punk was very vocal about it. My thoughts on the abortion situation and what some of the wrestlers are saying online is this. All right. My body, my choice. All right. You go the abortion route, my body, my choice. Where does it stop? Where does it stop? All right. That's my first thoughts on it. But I will also say this. I do not, I don't have any issue with abortion. I dated a girl once. She had to get an abortion, but this was, you know, like early 90s. And I've had very much guilt afterwards. And very much guilt because I always thought to myself, wow, that could have been my son or my daughter. But I believe in the choice of abortion if someone wants to get an abortion. But I also believe that it's within a certain amount of time. I think if you wait too long, and scientifically it's proven that, you know, the fetus inside you feels pain and has some type of a heartbeat or something. You know, I'm no doctor, no scientist, but I feel that once you get past a certain time period, it's no longer your choice. That's just my opinion on it. But whether that's 12 weeks or 16 weeks or whatever you want to use, whatever number, but I do believe that it's everyone's right. But I will also say this. Two problems I have with what's going on right now. Number one, and this goes to what I always say, that social media, if you post the truth about something, if it's boring, people just ignore it. They want the sexy stuff, even if it's false. That happens in wrestling all the time. But abortion is determined by the individual states in the end. So even if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe v. Wade, the individual states can pass their laws allowing abortions. So even, and again, I believe in the choice of having an abortion. I say that up until a certain time period. But the individual states, if they pass laws allowing abortions, you know, nothing changes. All right, fuck the feds. Fuck the Supreme Court. You live in a state where it's allowed. And this is why you elect people. You don't just elect them so you get free stuff. You have to really pay attention of what these people running for office believe in. And this is why if they match your views, that's who you want representing you. So it's even more important now to pay attention of the people that you vote into office. Just because they hate this, or they like this, or they offer this, they want to waive this, they want to do this, you got to think about everything else. Is that trade-off worth it if that person doesn't believe in abortion? So you have to be very careful of who you elect in office. And I'll also say the second thing. What I can't stand is when people like CM Punk and others have to bring in skin color. All right? All right, you want to talk about rich, elite Supreme Court justices? Fine. You want to say Republicans? Fine. You want to say MAGA? Fine. But when you have to say these rich, white men, you know, that fucking stereotypes, because there's tons of whack jobs out there that look at a whole class like that. And I brought it up yesterday on Patreon, right after 9/11. It was so fucked up that people out there, they would see a Pakistani or someone, you know, with darker skin of Indian descent, you know, and you get a little nervous when you're walking around your neighborhood or this and that. That's fucked up. You know, you talk about, we were talking about Ahmaud Arbery, that tragedy, and you look at others. Imagine just because you're black and you're jogging down the street, and just because you're in a neighborhood, oh, well, he looks like he's up to no good. You know, I hate when people just take a group of people and they just classify it that way, because those people are very, very powerful people. And when you use rich, white, you know, it makes a whole class of people, you know, feel awful and awkward, and everybody's judged that way. If you have the same view, oh, there's another rich white guy, you know. And I notice on social media, that's how you get extra points. You know, when you gotta actually, you know, incorporate that, you get an extra 10,000-15,000 likes to it. If you just say these rich, out of touch Supreme Court old people, you know, that's not that popular. But if you go these out-of-touch rich white men, you know, oh, well, that's like Trump. Rich white men, like Trump. And that's why I fucking hate that. If you believe in abortion, you believe in abortion. You don't have to bring down a whole class of people and judge it like that. Because guess what? You know, there's a lot of, and look, I'm not saying CM Punk, please, not saying that. But you should know by now that a lot of people who are very, very outspoken about Me Too, in favor of Me Too, are the biggest offenders. You've had people who are totally against sexual abuse that are bigger offenders. I guarantee you that there's a lot of rich white men out there that are all professing my body, my choice, that deep, deep down inside, that they are against abortion. But they're doing that because it is the most popular view to take right now. God forbid you take the opposite side, you are chewed apart, spit on. It's like a dog vomiting and eating its own vomit and vomiting again. So, all right. We're going to wrap this up in 8 minutes. We'll finish at the 2-hour mark. Time flies when you're having fun. All right, this came up earlier. This is definitely something you definitely want to talk about. This came up from a bunch of you earlier. Here's the brackets for the Owen Hart tournament on the men's side. And everybody's paying very close attention to the lower half left-hand corner. For my friends in audio only, do not worry, because I will read you the brackets. The eight men that are in the Owen Hart tournament, the eight men have been announced. The brackets have been announced. And one is a wild card. So on the left side, well, let's go to the right side first. On the right side, we have Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin. And I think that match actually may go down next week. Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin. And you also have Adam Cole versus Dax Harwood. That is your right side, the brackets. On the left side, you have Rey Fénix versus Kyle O'Reilly. And you have Samoa Joe versus the Joker. Of course, you needed a surprise because everything has got to have a little extra announcement, a little crackerjack box. Look, toy surprise. I'm not knocking it. I like surprises. But when you have to depend on surprises, that's when there's a problem. If your cereal starts to suck, I don't care if there's a comic book inside the box. Give me good tasting cereal and you could keep the fucking surprise. I don't need the little toy surprise. Give me good shit. So everybody is abuzz. Samoa Joe is facing the Joker. Who will be the Joker? So now here's the deal. Samoa Joe, a Ring of Honor champion right now, TV champion. He has had a little bit of momentum in AEW, although it's under the Ring of Honor banner than anything else. And you envision to yourself a fantasy match with Samoa Joe. Now, I know quite a few people out there were saying, oh my God, could you imagine if it's Johnny Gargano? Johnny Gargano is not a bad choice. But I then picture a match between Johnny Gargano and Samoa Joe. And I don't know how that would come off. Is that really a fantasy match? Maybe it is for Tony Khan, but I don't know how good that would come off. Some people have said Kenny Omega. The problem with Kenny Omega is that he recently, I believe, had groin surgery, and he still needs some more time to rest and recoup. Remember, next week, this tournament starts. So within 2-3 weeks at the most, Samoa Joe has to have his match. I would say maybe 2 weeks. So I don't think Kenny Omega would be back in time to take on Samoa Joe in that short a period of time. So you ask yourself, what would be an intriguing match against Samoa Joe with someone that we have not seen much of or at all? And right now, only one person comes to mind for me. And that person is Cesaro. You know, I don't know what he's calling himself right now, Claudio Cesaro or something like that, because I could just envision Cesaro doing a Cesaro swing on Samoa Joe. I honestly think Claudio would be an absolute great choice. I think the match with Samoa Joe would actually be really fun. And I think just for the Cesaro swing on Samoa Joe, I think that would be a lot of fun. So I do not believe it's going to be Killer Cross next. Nick, I don't think Killer Cross will be All Elite anytime soon. Don't forget, if you're not aware of it already, I know I haven't mentioned it in 2 weeks, but sometime in June, which is next month, for one night only, this show is returning, and this person will be our guest. The Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show will return for one night only, and Killer Cross will be joining us. So we have a little bit of a history together. Indirectly, of course, but that's going to be a fun show to do. That'll happen in June. We don't know the exact date yet, but it will be going down. Once we know, I am going to be posting a thread soon so everyone can get an opportunity. If you have a really good question you want us to discuss on the show, we obviously can't choose everybody's, but we will pick a handful. And the Joker will not be Deli Man. I wish, but no. I wouldn't want to embarrass myself and insult the fans by doing that. But, yeah, I know. I miss doing the managing stuff. I appreciate everyone who enjoyed the footage that we played on, what was it, Sunday? I mean, I haven't done it in a while, and I feel 10 times better now than I did back then. I'm a little lighter as well, but, you know, nobody wants his old dog anymore, everyone. Let's be honest. So Grado and Chris Hero are not, nothing against them, but those aren't names that really stick out that anybody's going to make a big deal over. I just envision Cesaro, maybe if I thought about it a little bit deeper, you know, maybe I would choose someone else. But yeah, right now I think maybe Cesaro. So Harris, with all due respect, does anybody really care about Joe Henry? Henry, I really don't feel, you know, we could put Danhausen in there, Hook. You know, I mean, one thing you will have to admit, this tournament, out of all the tournaments that AEW has done on the men's side, this might be the strongest tournament that they have ever done. Because Rey Fénix and Kyle O'Reilly sounds like a fun match. Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin is pretty much a fantasy match for a lot of people. Adam Cole and Dax Harwood, I think, would be a boatload of fun. Samoa Joe, depending on who he faces, would be a lot of fun. Then you go to the next round. You think, you're like, who would you choose between Adam Cole and Dax Harwood? I kind of think Adam Cole. And then you realize you might have Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy or Adam Cole versus Darby Allin. On the opposite side, you may have Kyle O'Reilly versus Cesaro. You may have Rey Fénix versus the Joker. I don't know if Samoa Joe advances. I would not be surprised if Samoa Joe gets interference and somebody attacks him. You know, I mean, they're doing that storyline with Ring of Honor. Hey, who knows? Maybe it's Satnam Singh. How would people react if Satnam Singh was the Joker? How would you feel if it was Jay Lethal? I wouldn't mind Jay Lethal if that's what it was, but why make it a surprise? I mean, Jay Lethal's been, you know, they've been teasing that with Samoa Joe. Just announce it. So I think, because they're doing the Joker, it's got to be somebody that's probably not under AEW contract right now. So, Ray Guns, yes, I did bring up your super chat earlier. We were joking about it earlier when I was talking about Tony D'Angelo and Galante. You know, go home and get your shine box. By the way, I'll leave you with this before we jet out of here. You know, I always told you guys about a restaurant that I used to go to when I was a lot younger, when I met Johnny Depp. And the restaurant was called Casablanca, and it was in, you know, my neck of the woods. I used to live in Middle Village, Queens. And I said that gangsters used to own that restaurant. That's where I had my engagement party in 1999. And I told the stories. You know, my father called me up. Oh, you got to come to the restaurant. Johnny Depp is here. We met him and he was an asshole, because Johnny Depp obviously is in the news right now. But I met him and he was a pompous asshole when we met him. But believe it or not, some guy on YouTube about 3 months ago was doing videos about mobsters and actually covered Joe Messina. Joe Messina is a famous gangster in this neighborhood. And he actually went to the restaurant Casablanca, which is still there, but it's boarded up. It's been closed for about 20 years. And he actually tells the whole story about Joe Messina and Casablanca. And he mentions that Johnny Depp used to dine over there as well. So if you ever wanted to see the restaurant and the whole story behind it, and I've been telling this story on my shows going back 20 years, you know, going back to the Hotline days. So once again, you know, if you want to see the story backed up, go on YouTube, just type in Casablanca Joe Messina and you'll see the thing. Or I go like this. I'll put the link up later. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We are exactly at 2 hours. So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, I would really appreciate it if you hit that like button. It definitely helps. You'd be surprised how much it does. I will be here Saturday at 8:05 for the Don Tony Show. Again, we will do predictions for WrestleMania Backlash right at the beginning of the show. And I'm only spending about 5 minutes on predictions, because for the most part, you're going to hear this or see it after Backlash takes place. We'll see how accurate we end up being. And I still think there's a good chance Finn Balor will show up during that match and turn on AJ Styles. We will see. But we got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about Saturday. It's going to be a loaded show, a lot of fun. And then Sunday, right after WrestleMania Backlash, I will be right here giving you a recap and review. I think the show is going to be better than people expect. And I really, truly believe that Ronda Rousey and Charlotte is going to be a lot better than people anticipate. Especially the I Quit. They'll be able to do a lot of stuff that they couldn't do at WrestleMania. So, all right, everybody. Have a good night. Be well. All the best to you. And I'll see you all again Saturday, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always...
Ooh, that's not good. That'll happen, yeah. Oh, okay. I see what happened. Night, everybody. 3, 2, 1.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.